Okay, wait. Okay, I'm just gonna do the end of Really Love just because.
Absolutely, go
for it. We have. Alright, we're playing the end of Really Love because we didn't get the guitar solo in. Freeform Radio, by the way.
I'm a little out of breath. I forgot my dongle once again, and I made it like 5 minutes out of the house, and I had to turn around and then go pick up the dongle, and now I'm back, but I'm 5 minutes late because of that, and I was really booking it, and my shins kind of hurt. But anyway, you're listening to Button Pushers and also 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Whew, okay. I'm riding like such a high. I just had probably the best weekend of my entire life, so that's definitely going to be some of the anecdotes later on in the show. We'll see how much music we actually get to. I feel like I could yap about this for hours and hours and hours, and I'm not the only one. I think almost everyone that I met, I went to like a festival this weekend, and everyone that I met there is like reeling from it. Like, no one will shut up about it on social media. It's been 2 days now, and it was a really great time. But before we get into all that happy stuff, I'm going to take a second to catch my breath and, like, I don't know, maybe, like, use the restroom or something, because I really, like, rushed it over here, and now I don't really know what to do. But let me log in for a second. I've got two semi, I wouldn't say they're, like, sad, but they're, like, maybe a little bit more melancholic, and they're from a little bit ago, because I missed last week's show. I ditched it kind of last minute to go catch Two Hollis because he was performing here. That was all right. It was pretty good. Probably like the worst crowd I've ever met in my entire life, though, which maybe could have been expected, but alas. Anyway, but that's why I was gone last week. Sorry about that, everybody. I know that was also short notice. But in any case, I've got two tracks that I'll probably play back-to-back without fading myself in here, and then I'll talk about them a little bit later. The first one is called Things I Do For You by Memba, featuring vocals and probably production as well from Lazuo. And the next one is called If It's Not You by Zeke Beats with vocals from LED. LED, oh my goodness, I wonder if that's what I'm sorry, it's Ellie, like E-L-L-I-E, space D dot, but I wonder if they, like, made that their artist name because it sounds like an LED light. That would be kind of hype, I'm not sure. Okay, anyway, whew, wow, that was probably the most verbose intro and quick intro that I've had in a while. Let's get the music playing, I'll come right back with a lot of stories and fun stuff, and we'll get right into it.
Don't try to for you. Lost your life in the cold. Not a PS2. Why'd you always let go? For the things I do for you. Don't try to for you. Don't try to for you. We'll be right back.
not you, if it's not you, if it's not you.
Back just in time. I have caught my breath, I think. Maybe I'm probably gonna still do a little bit of heavy breathing for a second here, please forgive me, but yeah, I really like those two songs. I might play one more Memba track this show if I have enough time. Memba did another collab with Elohim, and some of the first tracks, I think actually the first track that I found Memba on was called Standoff, with vocals from Elohim. It's one of the most like pure, crystal clear masterings of a vocal that I've really ever heard. It's really, really good. And Elohim has this really, I'm getting the name wrong. It's not Elohim. It's, Ehio Robo, I think. Oh my goodness, that is, see, I haven't caught up at all. Let me make sure that this is, let me get these names right. Give me 1 second. Let me pull it up. One moment here. Standoff, go to album. Yeah, it's Ehio Robo, and they did another. Wow. Okay, Elohim also has great vocals, but a little bit weirder music for sure. I love it, but it's different from Memba. Wow. Okay. Anyway, they did another collab with Ehio Robo, and it sounds really good again. It's just like, I don't know, that pairing's really good. They have another track together called 15 Story Jump, I think, with Smile, SMLE, and I don't know, whenever they come together, it's really, really good. I like that track a lot. And then the last one that you just heard is called If It's Not You by Zeke Beats with vocals from LED. Someone in chat said, love LED's voice. It's a great collab. I agree. I think Zeke Beats, a lot of his other stuff is a lot wilder. Some of the other tracks that I have saved by them are a little bit more like arrhythmic, kind of G Jonesy sound effect territory, but this one's really smooth. I like the growls and the kind of harshness of the bass line contrasted with LED's vocals. Pretty nice. I like it a lot. All right, I am definitely gonna be talking more about the fest. But there's one more song that I want to play, mostly because it hit my top song of the month, like, pretty much immediately as I found it. It's super, super fun. I can't wait to try incorporating it in, like, mixes and stuff, because it has a lot of, perhaps, I don't think subgenres is the right way to phrase it, but it has a lot of, like, genres packed into the same song, and this style of song is usually called, at least in, like, the electronic community, a full flavor track, or rather the genre is called full flavor, as it kind of jumps from different percussive rhythms or different like bass lines and stuff that kind of fit into specific subgenres, maybe every 4 or 8 measures or something. So this is called Pump the Stereo by Euro Club, and it really gives me like a modern day CNC Music Factory kind of mix, where it's just this nice pumping tunes to like maybe get your setup and test your speakers and make sure that everything's running, and maybe get the crowd going a little bit. And also, because I think Euroclub is like 8 or 9 people, so maybe they all just took like a little part and like pieced it all together into this track or something. But it's really nice, and I think it could be a good toolbox in It could be a good tool in the DJ's toolbox, given that it has so much movement and change within the song. You could really use it as a medium from move from one to the next. So hope to do that at some point, but for now we're just gonna play it live because I've been looping it like crazy the past 2-ish weeks, minus the past 5 days, which again we'll get to in a moment here. But here's Pump the Stereo by Euroclub. I dig it, it's really good.
Euroclub.
I really like that track. It turns out the Euroclub project only has 2 songs out right now. And the other one is good too, but not as good in my opinion. Or perhaps maybe just a little bit less energy. And coming from Pump the Stereo to that one, or maybe going. I don't know what the right word is. I'm bad with words sometimes. And I'm tired. But I was a little less impressed with it, perhaps, but I really like Pump the Stereo. I think it's super fun. Might be a stretch calling it a full flavor track, because it is relatively consistent, but it's got some drill, it's got some Latin beats, it's got some Moomba. It's pretty nice. I like it a lot. It's fun. I'm probably going to keep looping it. I might even listen to it on the way home. Who knows? But I want to talk a little bit about the festival that I went to. Or maybe a lot of it, we'll see. But Grizz, the funk master in the EDM world, has come out of his hiatus and in a big return, I guess, hosted his first music festival. ever. And it's called Seven Stars. Or it was called Seven Stars. It will be called Seven Stars. It's going to keep going year after year, supposedly. He rented out a bunch of land in Arrington, Virginia. Not Arlington, mind you. Arrington with two R's. And that is a town with maybe 700 people in it. Like, it is a... Like, the borders of the town are depicted by, like, the... You know, the houses that are within it, kind of. Like, it's like a census-dictated town. Very, very tiny. And he sold about maybe 15,000 tickets to this festival. So, basically just packed this farmland area with a couple of stages. I think there were maybe, like, six total, but two, like, kind of main or bigger stages. And those were really the only ones that I visited. And brought a ton of his, you know, friend artists and people he's collabed with and just other artists over to perform for 3 days in, like, the middle of nowhere on this farm. And I have, like, nothing but praise for the entire team who managed the festival. I haven't been to a ton yet. You know, I haven't been to a lot of, like, outdoor multi-day festivals. I've been to Breakaway every year that it's been here. Those are 2-day fests, but there's no, like, camping or anything, right? I also don't really need to travel. It's only like 30 minutes away at the maximum, pretty much, maybe an hour. And then I usually just go home and sleep and then come back the next day. This was a little bit different. The only other festival I've traveled for was Thunderdome, which is the one that Excision hosts in Tacoma, Washington, the state, not D.C. And I think from what I've heard, there's a tendency, and also what I've experienced, there's a tendency to kind of, like, overpack these spaces because every, you know, ticket sold is revenue for the festival. And I'm really impressed with how much space there was at this festival. I never felt too crowded, no matter how close I got to the stage. And I never got, like, crazy, crazy close. I posted a crud ton of videos on my Instagram story today. And so you can see about where I was in certain areas and such. But I don't know. There was a lot of space. And also, the crowd was, like, immaculate. I cannot speak highly enough about how cool it was to be a part of this festival for the first time it happened. The festival sold out all 15,000 tickets or whatever in like 90 seconds after he released it. So there were no day passes. There were nothing. It was just people who were there committed for all 3 days and decided to commit to it within 2 minutes of the tickets being released. So to tell you a little bit, like, I guess not to say everything about it, but, like, these are all veteran ravers who are, like, super into the Grizz Project and the associated artists that he works with, and we're super excited to see what he could put together. And it really showed. Like, I think I've had a little bit of a, I don't want to say a stigma, that's not the right word, but I've been having a little bit of pessimistic thoughts toward concerts lately, because I just feel like there's not a lot of people really getting into it. Like, I think if you're gonna show out to a show, you gotta dance and you gotta be into it. And I know everyone, to each their own and such, like, if it's a night out, you should be able to celebrate it how you like. But it feels like there's a lot more, like, kind of, like, clout chasing, where people are just kind of like, oh, make sure you get a picture of me in front of the stage and or, like, with this artist or whatever, or, like, recording, like, the entire concert or something. And it's just kind of like, it would be nice to see more people being there and just being present. And, you know, you get your one or two or three vids because you're there and you want to, you know, remember it better than the old flesh computer can. That's the brain, by the way. But I don't know. I think especially the past, like, 3 or 4 concerts I've been to have just been really, really packed, and really kind of, like, I can't tell if people are really there for the music or just to kind of have like a night out and be like showing off that they're having a night out, if that makes sense. I don't mean to be a hater, but other people have resonated with this when I've brought it up, so I hope I'm not alone on this. Totally not the story with Seven Stars. Like, I think everyone there really, really brought it. I think, like, no matter where I went with my friend Nate, and no matter where we posted up to watch a show, anyone around us wanted to dance with us, or, you know, we could ask, like, hey, like, you guys seem cool, do you want to dance, or do you want to, like, talk, or trade? There's a lot of trading of these, like, pointless little trinkets. I don't want to call them pointless. They're so sweet. It's so fun to, like, give someone a tiny little plastic rubber duck and get, like, a tiny little skateboard in return, or trade little bracelets that say, like, different song names that you like, or I'm crazy, or make sure to drink your water, or whatever. And, like, it's a good way to kind of break the ice, especially in a setting where it's, like, 120 decibels ambiently, so you can't really be like, hi, I'm Diego, and I really like your outfit, where did you get it? You instead just like kind of walk up and like present a tiny little duck, and if the offering is accepted, they might give you something back, and then you can kind of like start talking. It's a rave tradition, you know. At Seven Stars, like, I don't know, everyone was very, very, I don't want to say social is maybe not the right word, but like as soon as you sat down to sound down next to someone or posted up, stood next to someone, everyone knew what we were there for. We were there to celebrate, you know, the return of Grizz and this first year's festival, and just have a great time to some crazy, crazy music in the middle of nowhere. And it was so healing and so nice, and like everything that I feel like I needed for a while now. Like, it just felt so nice to just be super annoying about the music that I love and go out in some crazy outfit and dance like I don't know how to dance at all, and have other people join in on that and compliment, you know, my energy or whatever, and be able to return those compliments to the people that I saw also bringing their all. And like, it was just super, super cool. I mean, like, even when we first got there, oh my goodness, okay, this is the one complaint I have about the fest. The merch line was way too long day one, because everybody wanted to get merch for the festival, because it was like the first year of the fest, and it was also the first time Grizz had performed anywhere in 2 years. And so there's a whole bunch of new Grizz merch, a whole bunch of new festival exclusive merch, and Nate and I waited in line for merch probably like 4.5 hours, which is really long. But the people that we waited in line with were also very interested in getting that merch, and once you're in line with someone for 4.5 hours, you start talking, and we chatted them up, and they were super, super great. Like, anyone in line that we passed, whether they were, you know, it was like one of those snake lines, so whether they were in one of the other rows or just the people right ahead of us or behind us, we just talked like the whole time about how excited we were to be here, some of the other shows we've attended, who we're going to try and catch for the rest of the festival, what merch we're interested in getting, you know, first time we saw Grizz, stuff like that. And I exchanged socials with a lot of them, and like, I don't know, it made the time fly by. It felt so good to be surrounded by a ton of people that are interested in the same stuff. Like, I don't know, I've tried really, really hard to be able to find these experiences for myself, and for a long time, I think just the short way to put it is, like, if you told 16-year-old Diego even that he'd be able to go somewhere where no matter where he went up to and talked to someone, they would return the energy both in kind and maybe more, and have a shared similar interest in the music to minute details versus, or like going crazy on the dance floor and stuff like that. Like, I would have never, ever, ever believed it. And even if I did, I wouldn't know how to picture it. Like, it was so like foreign, you know, to me. Growing up, I didn't have a ton of friends that really liked electronic music, like maybe like 3 friends total. And even then I was like the one digging into the crates to find the weird, weird, weird stuff. And, it felt so cool. to be surrounded by that energy. And all the artists were so excited to welcome Grizz back into the scene. He's been an inspiring force for a ton of them. And he was so grateful for the turnout and how it turned out. The turnout and how the festival went down, and all the artists giving their all on set. And he really brought the energy too. He brought his brass band up. He brought his saxophone, the classic. He had Prob Cause up there rapping. And I love Prob Cause, if you've been listening to the show like at all for the past year. I don't know. It felt so magical and like spiritually enriching, and I think a lot of people were basically calling it like modern 2025 Woodstock, and that's kind of what it felt like. It was just a bunch of people like vibing out, having a great time to this music that we've missed from someone that we've missed for 2 years now. And wow, there was no rude shoving in the crowd, no like pushing to the front after showing up super late or whatever. And like every time you got bumped, like unexpectedly, so both people apologized, you know, like it was so, so cool. So yeah, I'm really reeling from that, and I'm super grateful for Grizz setting this all up, as well as the team involved in bringing the festival together. It was just an incredible experience. Also, shout out Nate. He drove us down and back because I am a bum and still don't have my license. And he really trucked it driving to Virginia and back. We left on Thursday. The festival was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we came back Monday and Tuesday. We took a night from Monday to Tuesday because Nate was kind of like, I don't know if I want to do the whole drive after a 3-day festival, which is like completely fair. I think I would have done the same if I had to do it all by myself. And overall, just a fantastic time. And I've only been back home for maybe 6 or 7 hours now, and I have to like return to reality and go to work tomorrow. And I don't know how I'm going to do that, but it's fine. And really quickly, I want to talk about all the sets that we saw / like tried to see, I guess. Day one, we saw, also shout out Nate for sending me this list because I was not taking notes. But day one, we saw Cannibalis, Lumasi, and John Casey. All three of those were playing while we were in the merch line, but we could still hear it a little bit. Kind of sad I missed Cannibalis's set because, like, she kind of throws down. From the Lost Land set, it was really, really fun. And from what I overheard, it was pretty good. But, I mean, the merch I got is pretty sick. I'm not going to lie. I really like it. It might have been financially irresponsible, but I really like it. And then after we got out of merch, we did catch Alley Cat, a name that I've been, you know, showing back and forth on the show for a little bit here. I caught my first Daily Bread set for a little bit, and then we also caught Wooly. That was my first Wooly set, and that was crazy. Like, the first 20 minutes felt like an hour, but in, like, the best way possible, not in a, like, time moves slowly when you're not having fun way, in a, like, how did he fit that many songs and that many transitions into 20 minutes? Like, it was fantastic, super, super fun. And then Grizz, and it was Grizz's first live set, you know, in 2 years, and the energy was so good. Like, there are some videos of me screaming to the point where I'm getting like a ripple in the scream, you know, because I'm just making my throat raw from yelling so loud at how excited I am, and my face hurt from smiling at the end of it, because he's such a, like, I don't know, such a good presence on stage, and I missed that music and that feeling so, so much. And everyone around us was doing the same thing. They were all just screaming and super, super bouncy and really getting into it and headbanging when it's required and such like that. And such a good time. And then day two, we caught the diva Rekno. Himself, I believe Rekno's pronouns are him. But check Rekno out for sure. They're super, super cool. I love them so much. They just, like, do not care about everything that's going on right now, and they are just their authentic self all the time. And that's a really inspiring thing to see right now, especially. And they brought that up, too, at the end of their set. They were like, hey, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now that make people like me who are special for certain reasons feel a lot less special, and never forget that, you know, you are that special, regardless of the commentary around you. And they also really threw down. They also had crazy visuals. Like, they had really fun, like, rainbow visuals, but also really silly visuals that I don't think I can really say on air, but I posted it on my story. It's pretty fun. And then we caught a little bit of Dennett and Artifacts. They were both pretty good. I don't have a ton to say about that, though, because they were mostly, like, we were kind of moving from stage to stage or doing other things, and they were playing. And then at Golden Hour, or Sunset, Grizz did a Chasing the Golden Hour set, which is, instead of, like, really heavy EDM or really wonky space stuff, it's really chill, vibey, real hippie stuff. And that was incredible. That was, like, perfect. The sky was perfect for it. The whole crowd was just kind of, like, swaying back and forth, and everyone was having a good time. Very, very fun. Then, in a big change of pace, we went over to see Jansen, who, that was my first time seeing Jansen live. He has a couple collabs, or he has a collab with Grizz, and a couple other collabs that I like, but I've never really listened to his project himself. That set was crazy fun. I was bouncing and jumping and all kinds of stuff. And he had, like, this fun Godzilla theme song flip that was really sick. And then we saw Level Up. That was also my first time seeing Level Up. She had some pretty crazy switch-up transitions that were super, super fun. And then also, Level Up is married to Subtronics, who played later that night. So they have a lot of music together, and a lot of her sets will have those collabs and stuff. But because Subtronics is playing later, Level Up was like, well, I can't really play, you know, only the Subtronics stuff. Maybe some of our collabs, but not... I can't play, like, my husband's stuff right before he goes on. So we got a little bit more of a unique Level Up set, too, which was really, really fun. We saw Of the Trees, who usually is a little bit more ambient and slow from what I've heard, but he kind of threw down. It was really, like, digital and glitchy, and I really liked it. And then we had Subtronics, which was fantastic. Wow, I've been talking for, like, 10 minutes, but who cares, man? We had Subtronics, who... brought Grizz out for a little bit, which was super cute to see them just, like, having a great time on stage. Also because they're probably the two, like, biggest names in the, like, spacey alien wub type music stuff. That's all I know how to explain it as. And they played their collab, the sequel to their collab, VIPs of both, as well as the original draft of the first one, which was such a fun time because everyone knows how they go. So they were all just, like, chanting it super loud. And then everyone was super excited to hear, like, the draft, like, what it could have been, you know. I don't know. Very, very fun. I had just caught Subtronics, like, the month prior to, and I don't know, he throws down. It's so much fun. And he's a really good soul, too. This was also one of the only bad crowd or people experiences that I heard from the entire event was there was, like, a VIP fan who, while on stage, like, rushed Subtronics while he was doing his set, which is just, like, so irresponsible. But I don't think it was really indicative of the rest of the crowd. And, in fact, almost everyone that I talked to was like, that was ridiculous, and we don't really claim him. He was probably some, like... really stuck up rich person who could afford the VIP tickets and doesn't really get the idea of the whole show. Not to be judgmental, we're plur here and everything, but come on, man. Like, there's literally fire shooting out of the stage at random moments. You can't just run out there. You could get hurt. Like, that's terrible. But anyway, he took it in stride, and I didn't even notice that he got rushed. Like, he handled it really, really well. And then next, day three, we caught a little bit of Motif with a V at the end, so Motifv I need to check out this project a lot more because that set was really fun from what I heard. And then we caught Fly because Nate wanted to catch Fly, and that was also a really fun set. I'm going to need to check out some more of those too. I think we knew a collab with Sokka and Fly, and that was kind of about it. Maybe I think Nate knew a couple other Fly songs, but that was a really fun set. It was also super early, so there was only like 100 people or maybe 200 people at the stage total, and we were all just like moving around, dancing, and trying to find the people that were bringing the energy at like 3 p.m., you know, which was a fun time. And then we caught Smokeland back-to-back Sippy. I had not caught either of these DJs before, and they performed together, so that was kind of a nice doubleheader there. And Harry from Smokeland broke his hand mid-set from punching up and down, and he went too far one time. He was, like, up on the table, and he was moving his fist up and down, and he went too far and hit the table and broke his hand and continued the set. Like, he was just like, okay, I broke my hand, but there's like 35 minutes left. I've got EMTs waiting, but like, I'm here till the end of the set, which I think is crazy. It also kind of shows a little bit of the like crazy feral gremlin energy that was present at this fest through and through throughout all the sets. People really went into it, artists included. After that, I caught a little bit of Ahi's set. He has this super fun intro where he like fake describes how to make music, and it slowly descends into this like quantum interplanetary into entanglement of all consciousness, and then slowly comes back to like being talking about how to make a bass line. Very, very fun. He also has a Wheels on the Bus drum and bass mix. Goes pretty hard. And we moved from Ahi over to the other stage to catch Effin, who has a lot of these like old vinyl sounds mixed with really deep new wubby electronic stuff. I don't really know how to describe it other than that, but that was a really cute set because he brought his parents, because he grew up 30 minutes from where the festival was, and had a couple words to say about just being like excited to work with Grizz and be a part of this and stuff. And it's fun to be like, hi Mr. and Mrs. Effin, thanks for coming. And then after that was Trip Street, which I'd never heard of before, but I took like a bunch of videos to show my mom because like the first 30 minutes of his set were just like old, not old, but like older rock songs or like funk songs, mostly funk songs, I would say, redone with like EDM influence and synth, and basically just like fun wubby remixes of these tracks that people are all familiar with. And that's something my mom has been telling me to get on for like a long time. She's like, this could be a really cool project if you like took this old song and like made it EDM or whatever. And like, obviously she's right, but I'm just like not good at it yet. But he is like, he did it already and it sounds sick. She was right, it sounds really good. And then after Trip Street was Liney, which was insane. Liney has a new album coming out in a month. A week, my bad. Also, he had a deck failure, like, at the start. Like, one of the decks just started ramping up the BPM, so it messed up one of his transitions. And he just, like, full stopped and was like, hey, I'm having a technical difficulty. I'm going to swap out the deck, and we're going to get started over. I'm so sorry about this. And very quickly recovered. And then brought, like, probably the like one of the hardest sets of the festival, in my opinion. And also there was a conflict between Liney and Levity, and Levity is just a huge name in the scene right now. So conflict meaning they were on stages at the same time but different stages, and so the Levity crowd was really packed and the Liney crowd was maybe not as packed, which was super sick because everyone there was there to see Liney. And I'm gonna play one of his tracks later. That was just so much fun, and the whole set was so good. I apparently danced like the equivalent of 6 miles during that set, according to my watch or like my health app or whatever. And I was really trucking it. I was moving, flailing all over. I had our neighbors were doing it too, our rave neighbors, who ended up being from Boston, and we traded socials, and we'll probably hit shows later together, which was sick. But some other rave neighbors were not from Boston, but also went crazy, and everyone there knew all the songs and were able to like scream them and stuff. Super, super fun. How do you scream dubstep, you ask? Well, I'll have a video to play on air for that in a little bit. And then after Liney, we caught a little bit of Tate B, who is really good. I don't really know what else to say about Tate B other than he's really good. He makes these really nice like rap remixes usually, or R&B remixes. But then also has some really nice just like super deep bass music. Whew. And then finally, we caught Grizz again, who closed out the show. And in the final show, he opened it up with a series of voicemails from this number that he teased a couple months ago. I remember leaving a voicemail. I don't think I heard it up there. But it was just a bunch of messages of people being excited to be at the event, you know, months prior to it happening, and excited that Grizz is coming back. And some people were making silly jokes, and other people were like, I just, you know, finished my cancer treatment and I'm cancer free, and I'll be able to be, you know, outpatient and dancing by the time of the festival, and I can't wait to do that again with my loved ones. And all these just like beautiful messages that really tied together the entire event of how unified everyone was in their passion for this artist and for this project. And it was just so great. It was so beautiful. And overall, I think I danced like 115,000 steps, or like 65 miles, and I believe it. I was really, really trucking it. I had a lot of people come up to me just telling me like, hey, you look like you're having a really, really great time, and it's fun to have that energy around me because it's making my time better. And that felt so good, because I think a lot of times I've been, I don't want to say bullied, but perhaps criticized, or even just kind of looked at weirdly for some of the ways that I react to this kind of music. And being in a spot where people were just very genuinely like, no, you're helping this experience feel better because it's more charged with your energy around, and I get to mirror that energy, and then we get to dance together, or grab hands and headbang using each other's handshake as like the fulcrum, you know, for us to move back and forth. And it was so revitalizing, and now I have to go to work tomorrow. Wow, that was like 20 minutes. Sorry about that, y'all. Not sorry. I'm actually not sorry at all. I needed to get that off of my brain or chest or whatever. It was such a fantastic, fantastic time and encouraging time. And I can't wait to see what comes next from Grizz. And I'm catching Grizz again in December. I can't wait. It's going to be so good. And I don't have enough time to play everything that I wanted to play. I wanted to play 3 Grizz tracks so that we would know a little bit more what his project is about. And then the Liney track. But I think for now, I'm just going to start with the Liney track, and then we'll move back to Grizz a little bit for the remaining time, if I can. But for now, I want to play Liney's probably, I'm going to call it his most popular track. I don't think it is technically, because like his beat got used by Fred again, and like obviously that's going to skyrocket it to like the top. Light Up, a collab with Eptic, is the one that everyone screamed really loud. And I have a video of that too that I'll play right after that, so that you can kind of hear what that sounded like live, which was super, super fun. But here is Light Up. I've played it on the show before, but we're just going to do it again because it's sick and it's super, super fun. So thanks for hearing me out on all this if you were listening. And I hope I can hit 7 stars again. I don't know if it'll be next year, but I really hope to do it another time, because that was just a magical, perfect experience. I loved it so, so much. Everyone was great. And I met so many cool and similar people. Not to toot my own horn, I don't think I'm like that cool, but like I met people with similar interests, and that felt cool to me. So let's get into Light Up. Let's play some music instead of let me talk this whole time. I'll do the PSA while I search for the video too, and then we can maybe play some Grizz. But Thank you, Grizz, and the Seven Stars team. I know you're not listening, but I believe in the ether or something, and maybe this message will hit you. That was fantastic, and I feel still really great about it. It was really, really fun. So, anyway, here's Light Up. It sounds kind of like a duck and a frog mixed together. Absolute banger. It's so good. It's so much fun and way more fun. Like, I knew it was going to be fun live, way more fun live than I ever expected. Anyway, really quickly, let me try and pull up that video while I also read the PSA, because I'm a master at multitasking, kind of, sort of, maybe. If you have experienced extreme exhaustion for 6 months or more, coupled with difficulty sleeping and concentrating, body pain and flu-like symptoms, you could have chronic fatigue syndrome. Visit www.cdc.gov/CFS for the latest on diagnosis and treatment. Get informed, get diagnosed, get help. True. I'm kind of tired all the time, but I think that might be a different issue. that's whatever. And I think this is the Liney video. Let's check.
Sing this shit!
Wow. song was that? And it was so good. It was so much fun. He spun it back because he claimed that we were louder than Lost Lands, which is a much bigger festival and had a bigger crowd. But honestly, I believe it because those people, everyone there was so into Liney. It was so much stankin' fun. Yeah, I don't know. That's all I have to say about that. And if you want the Wah 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 video, let me know. It goes crazy. And if you ever see Liney live, make sure you bring your Wah 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 because it goes insane. But yeah, also, I was reminded of something also very special about the event. Was a big thing in like the rave culture is this thing called Flowstar, or and people have this like kind of stronger woven piece of cloth with a little bit of weight to it, and you spin it around. It looks like a little bit of a star, and you can spin it around and do tricks with it and kind of dance with it. And I've been seeing it at shows for a long time now, and I'm just like, I feel like I could get into that. I really love moving, and I love dexterous things and using my hands and fingers in very meticulous and specific ways, hence coding and Rubik's Cubes and stuff like that. And I really wanted to get into it, and I went to the store for it. They had a stand at the event, and they were like $80. And I was like, I don't know if I can spring 80. Maybe I'll go home and like Etsy it for like 50, which is still kind of expensive, but I go to a lot of these shows, and I'm going to have fun with it. Someone right in front of us at the Liney set, I love their outfit and their hairstyle, and so I went up to them and was like, I want to be you. And they were like, you could be if you wanted to. Do you want to follow me after the show, and I'll take you to the Flowstar stand, because I am part of the Flowstar community and like the people who run that stand, and you can just pick one out, and I'll give it to you for free. And that like made my night, like, for sure. It was such a great conclusion to the set, and like super fun. They're on Instagram doing Flowstar stuff, so go check out, their name is Wubs Fairy, and that's a really great name for them. They very much did look like a just like dubstep rave fairy spinning around their Flowstar and stuff, so go check them out. And thank you, Wubs Fairy, for the Flowstar. I will put in my practice and get good at it, and maybe one day we will flow together. I'm also approaching time here, so I want to say you're listening to Button Pushers, as well as 91.5 WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for listening to my rant, might not be the right word, but I don't know, discussion about this set. It was so much fun. And coming out of this, I'm going to play Your Light by Grizz. It is not the most Grizz indicative, or maybe not indicative of all the crazy stuff that he played, but this is what he played during Chasing the Golden Hour, and it's some really nice chill hippie stuff kind of, and I'll play that. It should be easy to move from that to the next show, kind of the main reason I'm playing it. And we'll probably hopefully play more Grizz next week. My brother will probably be here next week, so who knows what we'll play. We always get up to shenanigans when he's around, but yeah, here's Your Light by Grizz, and wow, yeah, I can't wait to get some sleep in my own bed for the first time in a little bit, and I really loved that festival. It was fantastic. Thanks for joining on the show tonight, and I love you guys so much. Peace, take care of yourselves, stay warm, all that jazz. Yeah, here's Your Light by Grizz.